From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, June 24th. Coming up, we'll learn about the regional summit hosted by the U.S. Department of Education this month and the ideas leaders had about tackling teacher shortages. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Public transportation districts in southern Illinois are getting $1.8 million from the federal government to improve access to transit options. Mawa Iqbal reports.
The money is meant to make it easier for riders traveling downstate to schedule trips across different transit districts. One of those is the Shawnee Mass Transit District, which has routes from the southern tip of the state to East St. Louis. Executive Director Mike Petrowski says their riders live in rural areas that are spread out and hard to get around.
There's no opportunity for employment, shopping, or just to get out of your area just to see the state. So we're hoping this, you know, if it helps just a few people, it's going to be great.
The transit districts serve the state's 20 southernmost counties. Petrowski says this is their first award going toward improving operations. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
A U.S. Supreme Court ruling is giving domestic violence survivor groups in Illinois a renewed sense of hope. In an almost unanimous decision, the High Court ruled that barring people subject to restraining orders from possessing guns does not violate the Constitution. Survivor advocacy group The Network has been pushing an Illinois bill that would require judges to order the confiscation of guns from those accused of domestic violence. Executive Director Amanda Pyron says lawmakers were waiting to see how this Supreme Court case would shake out.
We expect, again, that these concerns that were raised, you know, in the Illinois General Assembly are now null and void, that they've been emphatically answered by the Supreme Court of the United States.
Pyron says she's looking toward the fall legislative session to get the bill over the finish line. Some livestock groups want all meat products to clearly disclose where the livestock was born, raised, and processed. As Harvest Public Media's Skylar Rossi reports, they're hoping Congress will reinstate mandatory labeling in the upcoming farm bill.
The USDA recently finalized a rule that only allows meat from livestock born, raised, and processed in the U.S. to be labeled a product of USA, but that label is voluntary. Some in the livestock industry say country of origin labels on meat products should be required, something Congress halted in 2015. Tim Gibbons of the Missouri Rural Crisis Center supports mandatory labels.
One of the main purposes of a representative democracy is to enforce antitrust laws so that markets are open, fair, and competitive. Country of origin labeling is a first step.
Others argue the cost of the mandate would outweigh any benefits. There is currently no provision in either the House or Senate version of the Farm Bill. I'm Skylar Rossi, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. The WNBA's top new stars were on full display in Chicago last night. The Chicago Sky beat the Indiana Fever, including Caitlin Clark, 88-87. Sky forward Angel Reese says it was quite a game on Sunday.
Both teams tonight did an amazing job putting on a show, and it was fun. I had a great time. I'm sure the other team had a great time. So I'm just happy we won tonight.
Reese had 25 points and 16 rebounds, setting a new career high for scoring. Still to come, we'll learn about the regional summit hosted by the U.S. Department of Education earlier this month. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on The 21st Show, an hour-long conversation with teachers across Illinois. Brought to us by education reporter Peter Medlin, who hosts the Teachers Lounge podcast at our partner station, Northern Public Radio. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The U.S. Department of Education hosted a regional summit at the University of Illinois Chicago this month. Leaders from across the country convened to collect ideas on tackling teacher shortages. Peter Medlin was there.
Can we first start off by getting
education leaders from 11 states gathered in a small university classroom. Roberto Rodriguez stood up to speak first. He's the U.S. Department of Education's Assistant Secretary in the Office of Planning, Evaluation, and Policy Development.
It's one of the most important challenges we have to tackle in public education.
That's why his department's holding three of these events across the country to brainstorm solutions. And they chose to hold this one here in Illinois because of the state's work opening up new pathways to become teachers and prioritizing teacher diversity. Illinois State Superintendent Tony Sanders says they've set diversity goals for teacher prep programs and invested in a new teacher vacancy grant over the past few years.
It's funded again this year for $45 million, and it's giving resources to the top 20% of school districts that have 80% of the vacancies.
To that point, shortages look very different depending on the school. Low-income and schools with higher numbers of students of color tend to have more severe shortages, and some roles like special education, early childhood, and bilingual tend to be the most difficult to fill. One of the ways to get teachers into those hard-to-staff roles that Rodriguez talked about is for schools to grow their own. That means recruiting high school students or paraprofessionals to get their teaching license, which the school then helps pay for. Recently, more and more Illinois schools have experimented with those models. Rodriguez says the Department of Ed is also investing tens of millions of dollars into a type of grow your own teacher apprenticeships. In 2021, the Biden administration's Department of Labor approved teaching as a registered apprenticeship, which opens up federal funding for states with apprenticeship programs. Rodriguez says 35 states now have teacher apprenticeships.
Right now, we have over 1,200 candidates across the country moving through those apprenticeships. We think that has a lot of promise.
Illinois just launched its own pilot program this spring. Jarvis Lundy is the director of education diversity at the Hunt Institute, an education nonprofit, and at the UIC event, he emphasized that it's also important who those teachers are. Research shows it's beneficial to all students when schools' teacher demographics reflect their student demographics. And Lundy says that's where growing your own and recruiting paraprofessionals can have another advantage.
If you look at a paraprofessional pool, especially in early learning, it's almost flipped on its head. We have, you know, a majority women of color specifically, right? So how do we identify and support those folks if they'd like to become teachers?
Zachary Levine also presented in Chicago. He's the founding executive director of Teach.org, and he says they have two programs, Future Black Teachers and Future Latino Teachers, which support students who show an interest in becoming educators.
There was a survey of 1,000 Black high school students who wanted to become teachers when they were in high school. 6 years later, 14 of them had become teachers. That underscores the need for a support system.
On the federal level, Rodriguez says the Department of Ed recently invested $450 million into teacher diversity grants. But there's also another problem to solve. How can schools keep good teachers? A recent Illinois survey found the top two reasons teachers left the field are salary and burnout. Illinois has a $40,000 minimum teacher salary, and that's similar to its neighbors, but other states have higher minimums, and some are raising theirs. In Maryland, all teachers will make at least $60,000 a year by 2026. Burnout is more complicated. Rodriguez says teachers are
carrying a heavier load than they ever have.
Sanders says there needs to be more conversations about teacher working conditions, and Levine at Teach.org says addressing student mental health can go a long way. In the meantime, Levine says he's already been hearing interesting ideas at the regional meeting. Why not add an interested in teaching box students can check next to the interested in the military option? And it wouldn't be the first time they look to the military for ideas. Levine says his organization has a program in four states borrowing U.S. Army recruitment techniques to entice potential teachers across the country, and so far, so good. He says they've gotten almost 6,000 new diverse recruits into teacher prep programs with that strategy. But from the federal government to the local level, school leaders like these know they'll have to stay creative and keep investing if they want to bring in good teachers and keep the ones they've got. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 90 degrees. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Skylar Rossi, Reginald Hardwick, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.